Welcome to The Buzz. I'm Christopher Conover. This week, the end of an era in Tucson city government. Come Monday, Steve Kozacik will no longer be the Ward 6 representative on the Tucson City Council. He's among the longest-serving members of the Tucson City Council. He and Councilmember Richard Fimbres were first elected in 2009, 2 years after Mayor Regina Romero was voted in also as a council member. Kozacik started that time as the council's lone Republican, though he switched parties before he ran for re-election in 2013. He has routinely been known for being the member of the council who was often ready with questions in meetings and accessible to the public and the media. Kozacik isn't retiring, though. He's taking a job heading up construction management of the new Mosaic Complex that will expand the sports offerings on Tucson's south side near the Keno Sports Complex. We sat down with Kozacik at the start of this week, his last in office.
So I think, you know, the easiest place to start with this is you and I have been having chats for over a decade. You sent out the letter talking about, you know, leaving the city, but walk us through a little bit your thought process. You've become an institution and the institution's leaving.
Well, I started this conversation with Chuck Huckleberry a few years ago when Mosaic Corridor was just in the design phase. And, of course, Chuck is gone, but continued the conversation with Jan and Carmine DeBonis. And once the Board of Supervisors passed the vote a couple weeks ago and approved the lease for Mosaic, thought the timing was perfect. I realize I'm, you know, partway through a term, but opportunities like this don't just fall off a tree every day. And this is really, I believe Mosaic is going to be a transformational project, not just for Tucson and Southern Arizona, but just regionally. And so the opportunity to kind of get back in the drill of helping to manage a multi-sports complex is something that you just don't get every day.
And that is your background. Lest people forget, you did that at the UA for a long time.
32 years worked in athletic, intercollegiate athletics, ICA, and literally every room in every level of McHale Center was renovated at some level during the time I was there. That's everything from the ground floor where we did the men's basketball locker rooms and the volleyball rooms, replacing the arena floor, up into the rafters where we redid the sound system as well. So yeah, so it's kind of going home. This is truly youth and amateur sports though, which is not something college sports is necessarily these days, but this is gonna be good. It's gonna be going home. And again, this will be a transformational project for the region.
So looking back at your time on the city council, the obvious question is, what are you most proud of in all that time?
I think that we have done an excellent job out of this ward office. First of all, it's not just me. I've got a staff. All of us who do these jobs have a wife, a family, and they're a part of this. Because these are time-crunching jobs. I'm in this office 7 days a week. And so I think that, to rephrase your question, what are we most proud of as a team is our constituent work. And that is someone's dog is barking at 2 o'clock in the morning to someone, you know, my trash didn't get picked up. That might sound like little stuff, and it is in the big picture. But for somebody—
Until it's your trash.
Yeah, yeah. Or you're getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning. For somebody to call and actually get an answer and a response and somebody who cares about your issue is a big deal to constituents. So our constituent outreach has been, I think, top drawer. From a policy standpoint, you know, we're sitting here in the Ward 6 office across the street from the Benedictine Monastery, having gone through a very long and sometimes contentious rezoning process on that, and have it turn out as the preservation of the monastery in perpetuity. That's something that forever we'll be able to look at and appreciate as a community. We have gone through some very significant rezoning processes that really require getting the Hatfields and the McCoys in the same room at the same time to kind of hash out the deal points. that's not easy stuff. And people kind of looking from the outside wonder, why was that so difficult? It's because everybody's got their own perspective and their own needs and their own desires. And so being able to craft public policy in a way that kind of where the concentric circles overlap, find that sweet spot in the middle, again, not something that you do quickly and easily, but you spend time doing. I think from a personal standpoint, though, one thing I'll take away from this is I'm kind of a critter guy. And so being able to play a role in shutting down Tucson Greyhound Park, the animal abuse that went out there is a thing of the past now. And so I'm happy to be a part of that.
I remember when you were running for your first election, you were running as a Republican. Democrats trying to paint you as a Tea Party Republican. You eventually became a Democrat, and it seemed like your role on the council became the guy with the question. Wait a minute, why are we doing this? How do you see your time on the council morphing politically to become very often that questioner on the council?
Yeah, so you are in the news business, and so you recognize how polarized politically, not just regionally, but nationally, we are. I think that's unfortunate. We have lost the ability to find that big bell curve in the middle. Most of us are a little to the left, a little bit to the right. Right now, the narrative is being driven by the extremes, the far left and the far right. On the council, I have tried to stay kind of in the middle of that bell curve and question staff and question business representatives, question constituents, saying, wait a minute, are you sure? And get the follow-up and get the dialogue going so that we can find a good spot in the middle. When I started this, Christopher, we were facing a $40 or $50 million deficit coming right out of the recession. That was a necessary time to be laying out the spreadsheets and crunching the data. And frankly, that was new at the council. Council members didn't come and open up spreadsheets and question staff and the budget staff about why are we spending dollars over here? Is it duplicative and all of that? That is now a transformational sort of culture at the council now. You'll notice during budget season, the council members are coming in with a list of questions. And so I'm glad to have been a part of that kind of culture shift. I think it's healthy for the council, healthy for the governing board, and it's healthy for city staff also to be questioned and to have to defend the positions that they come to the table with.
There have been some times since you've been on the council, and some of them you've been right in the middle of, where the state legislature, frankly, has almost passed laws aimed at things that the city council's done. The gun buyback program comes to mind that you spearheaded. It seems like I'm guessing you're a little bit proud of that at times, that you poked the bear up in Phoenix a little bit.
We're a little blue dot in a big red state, and that's no surprise to the folks up in Phoenix. And you're right. There have been more times than I can count where they have crafted legislation in Phoenix that only applied to a jurisdiction of 500,000 or more. So you're talking about Tucson and Phoenix. That's pretty typical from the state legislature. And again, it's another example of how polarized we are, we from a political standpoint, that we can't sit down and the state legislature can't sit down either amongst themselves or come down here and work with governing bodies down here to look at local conditions and look at local issues and say, really, that's kind of your stuff at a local level. You kind of figure it out. You saw last week that the governor had to veto a zoning bill that may sound very bland, but on its face, it is really the state legislature trying to take over local zoning discussions, zoning considerations. The gun buyback, as you mentioned, was another example where all I did was ask people if they would like to surrender weapons that they wanted out of their homes and have the city dispose of them for them. At the same time that buyback was going on, there was a group of right-wing legislators standing out in the public right-of-way with signs saying cash for guns and intercepting, I was offering $50 safety gift cards, intercepting guns and buying the kind of cool ones, in air quotes, that people were bringing up for us. You know, we'll give you $200 for your gun instead of that lousy $50 gift card. State legislature saw that, and shortly thereafter, in that same session, passed a bill saying it is now illegal for local jurisdictions to destroy a weapon. even if you as a property owner turn it over to us just for that express purpose. And during that buyback, I had people coming up. I remember an elderly woman came up and said, my husband died a few years ago. These guns have been sitting in the garage. I've got grandkids. I just want them out of circulation. That's what we were, that's what, this wasn't sort of a grab and, you know, confiscate people's weapons thing. So, yeah, the state legislature has more often than not been a thorn. And now we have a situation where there's a governor up there who's probably going to make a career out of vetoing bills to protect local decision-making. Home rule matters, and I'm glad that Katie Hobbs recognizes that.
One of the things after you announced that you were leaving the position, a lot of people said to me is, wait, what happens with all the recycling programs? You really got known for, it was at first behind the ward office, now it's in a parking lot across the street from the ward office, the glass recycling bins. I remember you were out there yourself pulverizing the glass, and of course, the plastic bags and all of that. What happens to all those programs now that you're leaving?
Well, they stay in place. We really have them up and running. We're working, we have a service agreement that has been signed with Bifusion. They are coming to Tucson once that facility is up and running, and it's in design right now. Once the facility is up and running, Tucson will be the first city in the world, literally, to stand up a recycling facility, or reuse facility is a better way to phrase it, for non-recyclable plastics at scale. We have other jurisdictions all over the country watching what we're doing, and they'll copy, you know, some of what we're doing, and they'll learn from our mistakes. We right now have gathered over 240 tons of plastic since this began a year and a half ago. That's a credit to the community. You know, when I started the pilot program in August of 22, we set a kind of a random goal between August and the end of the year to see if we could gather 20 tons. That's 20 tons of Saran wrap and plastic bags and water bottles, not 20 tons of concrete. Thought it was a big number. Before the end of the year, we were at 35 tons, and now we're at, like I said, 240 tons. That's to the credit of this community, who cared enough to gather the stuff up in their homes, bring it down to the ward office, and drop it off. People are coming here all the time, every single day. If you go over and stand in that parking lot across the street, you'll see our steady flow of cars 7 days a week.
Yeah, Monday afternoon when we're talking, as we drove in, there were cars circulating through there. I've come through on weekends and see darn near a line.
Yeah. It's an immensely popular program. And so the council will carry that through where we have the agreement in place. And Bifusion will be in Tucson around the end of the year, standing up their own operation. Churning out the blocks. I've already put them in touch with four different general contractors. We have projects that are going up right now in Tucson and all over the country. So this is going to be a good deal for the community.
Looking back again, as you begin to transition to the new job, we talked about some things you were proud of. Is there something sitting on the table that you just think, boy, I wish I could have gotten that done before this new opportunity came along?
Well, I think the Bifusion is a good example of that. You know, you birth a program and you'd like to see it across the finish line. And yet it's far enough along now where I know that's not going to come off the rails. From a policy standpoint, I would have preferred to see the city take, and still would prefer to see the city take, a more expansive role in how we address the homelessness issue in Tucson. The city of Tucson right now focuses on a program called Housing First, which for a relatively small component of the houseless community, it works. But for the people who are strung out on opioids, the people who have serious mental illnesses, people who are chronically homeless and living in alleys and under bridges and out in the middle of the desert, they're not going to thrive in a Housing First setting. And so I would have preferred to see the city build buy a large non-barrier congregate shelter, principally for single males, because that's the largest cohort. That's something I think that we still need to get done, and something I would have liked to see come across come across our desk as a box that we could check as we walk out the door.
So let's talk about your future. Mosaic, we mentioned at the beginning of this interview, it's going to be a big deal. And in an area that has tried to have some development before in the past, but nothing has really stuck down there.
So I'm one of those guys who believes that the Keno Baseball Stadium should have been built downtown. It was put out where it is right now for grossly political reasons, but it's out there. We have since lost spring training, and we're not going to get that back, largely because we would need three professional teams down here, and the Phoenix area has made an immense investment in their spring training facilities. So what do we do with the Keno Sports Complex? Mosaic is going to be a perfect multi-sports complex to draw synergies between Mosaic and Keno and breathe some life back into those facilities that Keno has. They have 11 soccer fields. They have the professional soccer field. They've still got a baseball stadium, and they have some indoor facilities as well. Mosaic, once it's up and running, even iteratively, they'll have the iceplex, they'll have the arena, they'll have a sportsplex, they'll have an outdoor pavilion that they can use for outdoor events, community events. And being able to bring synergies between those two complexes is going to be really important for, as I say, breathing life back into the Keno Sports Complex, which has really been kind of inching along and surviving. But we can do better, and this is an opportunity for us regionally to do that, to do better with both Keno and Mosaic simultaneously.
Talking about constituent services earlier, you're a runner. Those of us who know you see you all over town. Does this mean you get peaceful runs now with nobody stopping you and asking you questions?
Well, it means I'll get shorter runs now because I'm not going to have 3 hours in the morning to spend out on the loop. But that's okay. My knees will be thankful for that in the long run.
All right. Well, thanks for sitting down with us.
I appreciate you coming over.
That was Tucson City Council member Steve Kozacik, who leaves office on April 1st. On Wednesday, Kozacik's office held an informal get-together that was open to the public at the Shanty, a bar that's been a fixture of a well-known part of the ward he represents, the 4th Avenue Shopping District. We spoke with attendees and well-wishers, first among them, Randy Dorman.
It's the end of an era, essentially. And there's so many things about Steve, but I think the best is that he was always an independent thinker, a transparent thinker. He has a passion for making this community better and doing the right thing in a way that many politicians don't. Even when it's unpopular, he's unfazed. In fact, he sometimes likes it when it's not popular, as long as he's doing the right thing for the community. And I really love just how he explains exactly why he's thinking something, so that even if you don't agree with him, you understand where it's coming from, and that is the beginning to finding common ground.
You bring up something interesting. Even when it's not popular, Steve has certainly not always been on the popular sides of things. He certainly has gotten under the skin of the legislature. But that doesn't stop him, it seems, if he believes in something.
I think that that is his magic formula. It's all about what he thinks is right, and he's not swayed by politics. He's not really swayed by anything except finding what he thinks is really the right answer. And, I mean, if you recall when he first was elected, Republican, you know, the Museum of Contemporary Art is near and dear to me. And in the beginning, he was protesting in front of there. Fast forward just a year or two later, and when he actually learned about what we did and spent time with us, he became one of our biggest advocates. So I also love that he is open-minded and is always seeking more information to make a more informed decision.
Is Steve replaceable, whoever takes this seat, and then eventually whoever runs for the full term? Do they try and be Steve, or do they need to be themselves?
They need to be themselves. I think in this community, we always need to be looking forward. And I think that Steve being so independent is a characteristic of Ward 6. So I would assume that the person selected will share in that quality, but they have to carve their own path and create their own relationship with their constituents And Tucson's always changing. They have to look at what's coming next for this community and be an advocate for that.
We also spoke with Julianne Hurst, Neil Williams, and Margaret Drugay. Hurst led off by telling us that she's known Kozaczyk since they were young.
Where to start? We went to high school together, and it started there. And then he just started doing so much for the city of Tucson, from just his accessibility and honesty to the BiBlock program to his rabid defense of the planet and Ward 6 and other places in Tucson. He's just such an amazing person. We're going to miss him so much.
I feel like we should ask you questions about school, Steve, but we'll save that for another time.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you this one time. No, I'm not.
We'll save those for another show.
Maybe when her husband isn't sitting right here.
Exactly. So what's your favorite memory of Steve?
Well, I became the president of our neighborhood association several years ago and was immediately thrown into a lot of controversy. And Steve was my go-to person and has been just a stone column who has helped with anything I have ever asked of him. He never refuses a request. He may not have the answer, but he would always find out. And he's just so easygoing and was so good to work with that I just became enamored. And he has a brain unbelievably inventive. The plastics that are now being made into furniture and buildings are his brainchild. And I am happily bringing thousands of pounds here just because of Steve.
You bring up something that when we talked to Steve the other day, we asked him, of course, what are you most proud of? And you hit on it. It's constituent work. That's what he kept coming back to over and over again, the work he does for the people in the ward and the people in the city, who might not even be in his ward.
And you know what? It's beyond the city now. This has now become not only national, but it's going to be international. He just has visions that astound me.
So one of the characteristics of Steve, I think everybody would agree on, at least those of us who know him as Steve Kozaczyk, the public figure, is he never shies away from a fight if he believes he is correct. Since you've known him so long, is that new or has he always been that way?
I think he's always been that way. And he has a different clock. I think his clock has 36 hours in every day. I can't believe how much he gets done, and he's at every meeting. He's always in there. He's ready to dig in.
As the event was winding down, we checked in with Kozaczyk again.
When we were talking yesterday, you told us about this, and you said, I don't know if anybody's going to come. You seem to have filled the place. Surprise?
It was the free food. No, I mean, you know, our community is really engaged, and we're a big, small city. And if you look, there's a lot of cross-pollinating. There's a lot of people know each other from a variety of contacts. We've got city people here, we've got county people, neighbors, developers. You know, a guy, you know, this is Bart from St. Mark's Church is down here with people from the RTA. So it's people from all over. And that's what makes Tucson cool, is that, you know, we're a big, small city.
I'm interrupting.
You may. Please do.
Oh, hi, Chris. You don't know me. Okay. I'm not in your ward. I have the misfortune of not being in your ward.
It's okay. Just say your words.
I want to thank you for your vote on 36th and La Jolla. Obviously, it didn't do any good for you. Thank you.
All right. Sometimes you win by losing, right?
You represent everybody.
Yep.
Not just your great constituents. So thank you.
We'll let you get back to talking to people.
Yeah, so that was too long.
Excuse me. I just had to think.
Absolutely.
I'm just going to say goodnight.
Come on, take care of yourself.
All right.
I got you.
Chatted with these guys. And so many other votes. Not just that. So many other votes.
So let me give you a 12-second soundbite.
Oh, you know what? We don't care about the 12-second soundbite.
All right.
We're good. We'll let you get back to
my last
home first came
act,
to see you.
People are starting to leave. We need you to stand up on a table and thank everyone.
I can't get on a table.
The Tucson City Council will begin looking for Kozacik's replacement on Monday. Those interested in filling the last 19 months of his term can apply through the city clerk's office. Applicants must have been eligible to vote in the city for 3 years and have lived in Ward 6 for 1 year. While the city charter does not specify that a replacement has to be of the same party, the city council has said it intends to replace Kozacik with another Democrat. And that's the buzz for this week. Tune in next week as we look at how Arizona's share of opioid lawsuit settlements are being spent. You can find all our episodes online at azpm.org and subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcast. Just search for The Buzz Arizona. We're also on the NPR app. Zach Ziegler is our producer with production help from Desiree Tucker. Our music is by Enter the Haggis. I'm Christopher Conover. Thanks for listening.
AZPM's original productions are made possible in part by the Community Service Grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by donations from listeners like you. Learn more at support.azpm.org.